America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Welcome back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Cadobio. It's Chris Algieri. We are powered by PPV.com. PPV.com is your live streaming home for all big events, whether it's AEW wrestling, big time boxing, and much, much more. Live interactive chat will be in there October 25th for Fundora versus Zoo. Heading out to Vegas for that one. That will be streaming on PPV.com. No subscriptions, none of that stuff. Just go fight by fight, event by event. Really clear stream, live interactive chat with me, Chris, Lance Pugmire, and more. PPV.com is our presenting sponsor every single week here on Inside Boxing Live, twice a week now, because it's a big fight week, Chris. It's Canelo Crawford fight week, and it's our voicemail episode. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited. We're here. We're back to twice a week. I missed your face. It's apparently fall because we're in our hoodies and hats. But yeah, man, it's Crawford Canelo fight week. We are here.
Before we get into that, we have to talk weather. My phone said feels like 56 this morning.
No, don't like it. I got sweatpants on.
I kind of liked it. I walked to get my morning coffee. There's a little bit of a chill in the air.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I went by the Hudson River this morning, had my coffee like I do every single morning, have my cappuccino, because I'm classy like that. But it was brisk out there. I don't like it. I need to get my butt back to Florida.
The calendar has turned to September. Football is on, and it means that Canelo Crawford is here. It's Canelo Crawford fight week. And we like to do our voicemail episode every once in a while here on the show, where callers call in with a slew of different topics and concerns and advice and all of that. But for this episode, we have a very special voicemail episode where it's just Canelo Crawford, just your predictions and how you think this fight is going to play out. We got maybe 50 or 60 voicemails. I had to whittle it down to some of the best ones. Yes, probably our best and most voicemails, which probably bodes well for this fight. It's a lot of interest now. It's the crown jewel of the boxing schedule. Whether you like it or not, a fight that, you know, we didn't necessarily like at first, but as we're getting closer and closer, we're all making our plans for fight night. Everyone is making their picks, and everyone is coming up with how they think this is going to play out, because this fight has a lot of intangibles, Chris. It has a lot of variables, and it's like the perfect storm of boxing culture of little guy versus big guy. Why can't little guy big guy? Bold picks, going with guys that you think can never lose in Crawford. I mean, has your excitement level risen at all since last episode?
It has, actually. I was like, we're here in fight week, and it's just like, it's almost here. You know, you're starting to talk about like, where are we gonna watch this thing? What do you think? And everybody's giving their picks. And you know, the picture of Crawford came out recently, him looking yoked.
Was that all jacked photoshopped? Up.
I don't know, dude. I was on everything. I was everywhere.
Because I saw a picture of him at the UFC Institute with who was he dapping up?
Ilya Topura.
That's an unbelievable link up. And he looked a little flabby there.
Yeah, but listen. So I was reading some reports that was like an old picture. Is that true? Is that a new picture?
It was like the picture like right before he was about to take off.
Yeah, I mean but listen, lighting matters, guys. You got a good pump in the gym. You got a good pump in the gym. You're sweaty. You're glistening. You get that overhead lighting or some lighting behind you, and you're looking all jacked up. And then you know when he was outside dapping up Ilya Topura, he's outside. He's kind of like just chilling. He's relaxed. Doesn't look quite as buff. So I think over the weekend though, everyone saw that jack photo and they're like, whoa. And then I think today he came out about the Ilya Topura thing. But regardless, I mean, he looks strong. I'm not saying he's got to look shredded. He's got to look strong. But I think that set the internet ablaze.
To the four or five females that listen to this podcast, angles, they understand that angles matter. Lighting matters.
Women understand angles, yeah.
And a lot of voicemails. Okay.
and a lot of big guys, I know a lot of guys like big gym bros, they're all about outflanking everyone else in a picture so they look the biggest. Like, yeah, those just, you know, where they step a little bit forward, they angle the a little bit. Plant. Yeah, you got to outflank.
Caleb Plant
outflank.
Pose.
Yeah, I don't think about that kind of stuff. Maybe I should.
All right, let's get to these voicemails. A lot of them, a lot of good ones. And we start off with, let's just play it.
Going on, Inside Boxing team, long time listener, first time caller. I'm Donald Alvarez, Canelo's cousin, and I felt it was pertinent to maybe check in with the crew and let them know it's some insider information, right? Don't act on it. That's insider trade. But I feel it's, you know, worth it to make you aware that my cousin Canelo has never looked better in sparring on the mitts, on the bag. I've never seen my blood cousin, Saul, perform at this level. So for Crawford, you know, you're coming up several weight classes, taking on someone that more durable probably than anyone you've ever faced, can hit harder than likely anyone you've ever faced. And again, is my cousin. So I am absolutely partial. There is bias. I will be blurring the lines of objectivity. Once again, this is Donald Alvarez signing off for my cousin Canelo on September 13th. Adios, Inside Boxing.
Weird. Guy didn't really have an accent for Canelo's cousin. Perfect English.
Donnie Alvarez.
Donnie, I know some of the other brothers. I never met Donnie.
I mean, listen, the guy did have an accent. He sounded extremely white. And, you know, Canelo does have red hair, so there is some white in there somewhere, some Irish or something.
But that was hilarious. He did say that Canelo's looking great on the back. Canelo's looking great on the back.
My cousin.
Take that with a grain of salt. Insider information here. The type of information you only get at Inside Boxing Live. Canelo's cousin. Is
when he said don't act on it because that would be insider trading.
Yes, not only does Donald blur the lines, he doesn't even know what insider trading is. But that's awesome. one for Canelo from his cousin.
Hey guys, Luke from Biloxi here. Love the show. Just a couple comments about Crawford. I just can't get past the Madrimal fight. One fight in 2 years. He did not look great in that fight. Make no mistake, he did win it. But Madrimal did win rounds. Was able to score on Crawford. And if Madrimal can score, Canelo's going to be able to score. I'm worried about the weight. Those who are picking Crawford by destruction are just sort of ignoring the last 2 years. I think inactivity will eventually catch up to him. I predict that Canelo will win most of the early rounds. Crawford will probably sweep the last three, and that will end in a close and controversial typical Las Vegas decision for Canelo Alvarez. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Interesting, because I've heard a lot of what I've heard, you know, going through the 50 voicemails was Crawford's going to win the early rounds with speed, and then Canelo's going to settle in, and power's going to carry late. So Lou doesn't think that, but he can't get over the Madrimov, and a lot of fans can't.
Very interesting take, very concise. Well thought out, and I can see, that's the thing about you said this in the beginning at the top of the show, this fight is so interesting because of the variables, right? And those variables tend to lean towards so many different outcomes, perceivable outcomes. So yeah, I can see it going a lot of ways. I can see it, and the fight can end up going a way that I don't see, because it is that kind of interesting, weird mix. Like, it's so weird to even think about these two guys in the ring together at this point, but we're here. So yeah, I liked it. I'm not mad at the call.
Well, going back to the Madrimov point, because I think that's a really very telling thing, because all we can do is look at your last performance, and a lot of fans and pundits judge that. For Canelo, it's Skull, and he looked pretty bad against Skull, but we had a lot of variables there. First fight in Saudi, Skull running all over the place, Canelo not as motivated, all that and the other. For Crawford, first fight at 154, coming off of another layoff almost a year. And a guy in Madrimov who just is a tricky out, who is a mover, who is just not going to fight the same way Canelo is going to fight. But it's the only thing we can judge Crawford on. And he didn't look great. He got the win. he looked human for the first time. It stopped, snapped his KO streak. He did get tagged a bunch. He didn't land as much as he usually does. So is it fair to say I can't get that Madrimov loss or win, excuse me, win out of my mind?
Yes, it is fair to say that because, again, like you said, it's what have you done for me lately? That's boxing. And yeah, and that was his first time fighting at 54, and the weight seemed to be a problem. Now we're jumping up two more weight classes with a guy who's very strong. You know, Canelo is a very physically strong guy. So, you know, are those, you know, issues that we saw with the weight at 54 not going to be an issue at 168? I mean, it's impossible not to think that. So, yeah, you can't wipe that from the memory, and you shouldn't. But my pushback on that is, like, exactly what you said. Madrimov is a very, very different fighter than Canelo, and stylistically is more difficult to deal with than Canelo because he moves, he's tricky, he's fluid, he's got, you know, great push and pull. He's got good footwork. Canelo is a stationary guy. He walks at you. He makes the ring very, very small, but he's not a mover. He's not going to be using lateral movement. He's going to come right at you, and he's going to try and make the ring small and corner you. So it's extremely, extremely different fight in terms of style. So I can see both, but it's still hard not to see him struggle with Madrimov, and then Virgil Ortiz beats the hell out of him. So there's that too.
And he wasn't able to really sting Madrimov, and Canelo has an unbelievable chin. So like the KO streak snaps at 54.
Canelo has the best chin in boxing today.
Legendary chin. Might be the best, I mean, one of the best chins ever.
Yeah, him and Triple G are, you know, and Triple G is all but retired, I'm assuming. So, yeah, Canelo's got the best chin in boxing right now.
And Jim Lampley will tell you, it's all from riding horses.
Yep.
He told Joe Rogan that. It all starts with the hips and the legs, and it connects to your stomach bones, which connects to your shoulder bones, which connects to your chin bone.
That was a problem with me. As I aged, I didn't get enough horse training, so my chin left I got older.
If only you had the luxury of having your own horses. Did you watch Canelo on the Countdown show on Netflix? He bought $3 million worth of watches as if he was grocery shopping.
Well, when you got it like that, you can act like that, Dan. You might be there.
Relatable.
One day.
Relatable content.
Relatable. Very relatable.
Very relatable. I'll take all three. He's with Jacob the Jeweler, who is still a jeweler. Like, that guy got name checked in every rap song in late 90s to early 2000s. Jacob the Jeweler.
Still around.
Still has as much longevity as Canelo does. All right. Next one. You're going to like this one. Where is it?
Hi. I'm Miles, and I'm 10 years old. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple years with my dad, and I think Canelo's going to win. Because he has the edge. I personally think Canelo's going to win. Because he's been sparring boots. And that's the closest thing you can get to Crawford. But Crawford is a southpaw. So he's going to give Canelo a hard time. But Crawford might be could win. Because he's a southpaw. And he has a higher ring IQ, but if Crawford's winning, Ken also does have a puncher's chance. So that's why I think Canelo's going to win over Crawford for unanimous decision. Okay, bye.
that kid rules. That's awesome. He's 10 and he's been listening for a couple years. With his dad, that's tremendous. Also,
bad parenting.
Nice, good take. Bad parenting. As soon as I heard his voice, I was like, oh man, we have really young listeners. We need to.
No,
need to
I'm,
clean
I'm
this
hoping
up a little
now. Bit. I'm thinking about anything we've ever talked about here that I know. This poor kid heard.
I think we're pretty clean. I think we're pretty clean.
Clean. It's clean. When I post it on Apple, like at the bottom, it says clean, like not explicit.
Content.
You know, yeah.
Clean nice.
Content.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, so awesome. I hope my son, one day, my future son, who's out there, he's not. I mean, not out there. Maybe he is out there. Who knows? My future son. I hope I have a son. Loves boxing. That's pretty awesome. And he had a great take there. You know,
great take.
Crawford is going to be tricky early on with the southpaw stance, but
Canelo, we know Canelo has trouble with southpaws.
Right,
he knows that
on the money. But ultimately, he has Canelo winning. That's three Canelo picks, bro. Is this going to be a Canelo voicemail episode?
I mean, you said it. You were asking, like, where are the Crawford fans? Where are the people who are backing Crawford? Because it's been scarce, it seems like, recently. But I think people are coming back around. I'm sure we will on here. But listen, when I was 10, I was like that too. That's how I was when I came to boxing. I had VHS back when VHS was a thing. I have a wall full of VHS tapes, and I had the sticker on it with which fight it was. It was like Gotti Ward. It was, you know. That's good. I mean, we got an early lifetime boxing fan there. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to fights, but I don't know if I knew the X's and O's like that guy. Did he say his name? I don't think he said his name. Hold on.
No, he did. He did say his name right in the beginning.
Hold on. What's his name?
Hi, I'm Miles, and I'm 10.
Miles.
Yeah, Miles. Miles is cool.
Miles knows what he is talking about. Yeah. So we got a lot of Canelos so far. I'm not surprised. Maybe we'll change. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Cameron from Texas. I'll keep it pretty short and sweet here. I got Canelo. And by knockout in the probably 11th or 12th round. I say this because of Canelo's size and power. And I know people say, oh, Crawford's actually taller. Crawford also hits hard. But let's think about it. We've seen Crawford drop 200-pound men, beat up 200-pound men. We've seen Terrence Crawford also drop and beat up guys, but these are 147 fighters. These are a lot smaller than the guys that we're seeing Canelo hit. So I'm going off of what we're seeing, not the things we hear about Terrence Crawford, about how, you know, he's the greatest boxer to ever live and he hits like a heavyweight and moves like a flyweight and, you know, but I'm not going to lie. I want Terrence Crawford to win. That's who I would like to win, but my brain kind of disagrees with my heart on this one.
Well, I get that.
All right, so we got our first Canelo knockout. If Canelo can stop Crawford late, that would be some exclamation point.
Yeah, I don't see it, but I just think that Crawford's will is just is too great. So I don't see the stoppage. I actually don't see the stoppage either way. I think we're getting 12 rounds, regardless of who wins. But that would be crazy. A stoppage either way would be crazy. Absolutely crazy. Way crazier if Crawford stops Canelo. But even, you know, Canelo getting the stoppage, giving Crawford his first loss and stops him, that's
like a definitive demonstrative result. Because I haven't made our pick yet. We're going to do that on Thursday. But I do agree 12 rounds. I don't think anyone's getting stopped. But I also could see such close rounds due to the low volume that both fighters fight with due to the high skill. And I can see some scorecards all over the place. I can see that moment when the last bell rings and the ring gets flooded with people and we're trying to figure out who won and it's taking a long time. The scorecards are being they're being counted and we're like, oh man, this can go either way. That's where how I think it's going to shake out. I haven't exactly picked out who I thought is going to win. But this gentleman thinks Canelo's going to with a stoppage, and I like what he referenced here of Canelo fighting guys that are 200 pounds, like Edgar Berlanga, close to 200 pounds, drops him. Munguia, bigger guy, was able to drop him, not finish him. Kovalev, albeit Kovalev with an asterisk, dropped him. So there is something to be said
dropped
about
him,
Canelo.
Stopped him too. Like highlight reel knockout.
There is something to be said about Canelo being a lot more comfortable at this weight and being a guy that came up from 140 and his power has carried all the way up to 175.
Yeah. I mean, and we've talked about it in the show. He's not a finisher anymore. It's not like he's out there finishing, but he drops everybody. And there's something to say about that. You can still drop these heavier guys, these bigger guys. But the counterpoint to that, the counter argument is that it seems like Canelo likes fighting bigger, less mobile guys. So is he going to be able to catch up to Crawford? Is he able to put that big power on them? He likes these guys who are a little bit slower. Crawford ain't slow. So is he going to be able to find the target? You know, he's used to fighting bigger guys that are kind of lumbering. Now he's got a guy who's going to be mobile, elusive, hard to hit, smaller target. I don't know.
When you say Crawford isn't slow, like hand speed or foot speed? Because when I see him as foot speed, he doesn't exactly jump off the screen to someone that's quick.
Hand speed and reactions. Not so much. He's not really a mover at all. And I think he'll move a little bit early in this fight, which we've seen him do. He moved more in like 140. But And he still can do that. I just don't think he's going to do a lot of that, especially carrying around extra weight. It's going to be very tiring. But he does have the reactions with the upper body and his ability to counter. So,
all right, it's time for Perry. We know Perry. He calls all the time. He actually left two voicemails. He loves to do that. He loves to follow up his own voicemail. Here's the first one from Perry.
Hey, Dan, Chris, Perry here. Throughout this whole Canelo Crawford buildup, I've been down on this fight. Yet I am starting to get a little excited. You guys were right. It's the week before the fight, and the juices are going to start flowing. But to get to the point, Canelo bringing in Jerron Ennis. I know you spoke about this last week. I think that's a phenomenal look. And I was always slightly leaning Canelo. My pick definitely wavered a little bit after seeing him against Gall. I think it's really solidified my confidence in Canelo. And just what I'm seeing from him, just there's a edge to him that I haven't seen in a while that I'm seeing now. And Chris, I think you've dealt with Sean Zatel. I think you worked for Fight Hype at one point. He was at the Las Vegas press conference or the New York press conference. And he noted there was not that same edge that he saw from Crawford against Spence in the press conferences that he saw against Canelo. To make it very clear, Crawford is not scared of Canelo. We know that. But, you know, again, in a fight like this where you're trying to see two great fighters have a little bit of a mental edge, even the fact that Crawford chose not to have a public workout, it just tells me something. I mean, he had one for Spence, but maybe I'm just picking at little things here. But I even watched Crawford at the press conferences. That same edge, the facial expressions, I just don't see it. And the Jerron Ennis sparring definitely is making me pick Canelo heavy, heavy now. Just your thoughts. Am I just kind of making stuff up here? Thanks, buddy.
Perry, you're making stuff up. No.
I love Perry. I love the analytics of the psychology of the body language. Cause that's a big thing until it doesn't matter at all. That's the thing. Like we're talking about it and it's great to talk about it. It's a lot of fodder. And it's like, oh, he's like this, he's like this. And then on fight night, it doesn't matter sometimes. But
I want to ask you as the fighter here, what have you played those games? Have you found yourself psyched out from your opponent? Have you found yourself thinking of these things? Like, how much stock should we put into Canelo's body language at a press conference? You know, Crawford's body language at a press conference inside of like the mind of a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, aura definitely matters, and you're going to feel each other's aura, and there's going to be that, like, you know, we all have this, like, invisible aura around us, and when those orbs meet, how does that happen? How do they affect? Well, does one take over the other? And I'm, you know, obviously I'm being like kind of hyperbolic about it, but like it is that way where you can feel kind of their presence, and it's, you want to assert your dominance or your physical power, your psychological edge any way you can. Mike Tyson won how many fights before he ever stepped in the ring by just being sheerly terrifying. So that does play a big role in it. Will it play as much as a role in this fight? It's hard to say because Crawford's such a hard guy to figure out. And he's so wildly gifted. I always say he's like an alien, the way that he's able to perform out there. And for Canelo's just consistent. He's just consistently that dude. And he's very self-confident. We see that. His ability to trash talk is great. He just, you know, he's very good with the quick counters and the quips. It's an interesting mesh of psychologies between these two guys. Now, in terms of the difference between the way that Crawford was for Spence and this, I will say this, he was cutting a lot of weight for Spence. We were there fight week. He was cutting a lot of weight for Spence. So you're going to have that extra edge. And I used to say that about myself in my career. I was always meaner at 140. I was meaner and more focused at 140 because I had to be to make the weight. And I was hungry and I was angry. At 47, it was so easy for me to walk into the weigh-in. I didn't always have that same persona and edge to me. And I think it actually did affect me in fighting. I don't know if Crawford is the same kind of mentality. But I don't know. We'll see.
A couple things here. It's hard to tell so far away. Like the New York press conference was in June, July, or early August. Like a long time. I mean, we need to see now. We need to see this week. You know, we're recording here on Monday. We need to see them in the final press conference. I want to see them at the weigh-in. For Crawford, this is probably the first time that in a long time that he hasn't had to shed all that weight, especially at age 38. Now, in terms of aura versus aura, both these guys have their own aura. No one has more aura than Canelo Alvarez in terms of active fighters right now. When that guy walks into a room, you stop what you're doing and you go, oh my God, that is an all-time great. He has a ton of swag. He just has that it factor that I think a lot of other fighters see, and they get, I wouldn't say psyched out, but they feel it. You know, he's a huge star. He's been on the biggest of stages since he was 23 years old, even before that. You know, 23 years old was the Mayweather fight. Think about everything you have to do to get a Mayweather fight at age 23. So we're talking about a champion at age 20 and big fights heading into that Mayweather fight where Mayweather, you know, selected him. You know, great piece of matchmaking for Mayweather. But in terms of Crawford's aura, Crawford's got his own aura, man. This guy's never lost. This guy is a freak. This guy can wrestle. This guy can play basketball. This guy can pretty much play any sport he really wants.
And he's wildly competitive. Wildly competitive. You can't beat him. You can't beat him in anything. You can't beat him in a card game. You can't beat him in golf. You can't beat him in pool. You can't beat him in darts. You can't beat him. Like, the guy does not lose. He doesn't lose.
The guy has never lost. All he knows is winning at every single level. So that plays a factor into this. If you want to get into the nuts and bolts, you know, beyond the X's and O's, but Perry was talking about here with the psychology. That's what makes this fight intriguing to me, and that's why I'm starting to get a little more hyped up. And I think the Netflix, the Countdown show, did a really good job of. And these guys have just been at the top of their games. You know, Canelo has lost at the pro level, but for the most part, we're talking about a guy that only knows to win in Canelo and has the star power. And then Crawford, I mean, this guy's, he's never tasted defeat, and he's just a winner, and he just figures out how to win. And there's a lot of people out there that just believe he will find a way. Like, Crawford will find a way to win. That's what makes this fight really intriguing because, you know, Canelo is the betting favorite. You know, we have five picks now for Canelo. But the intriguing part is how Crawford goes about doing this. Excited, Chris?
I'm just like Perry said, I'm getting more excited as we get closer. And all these factors are affecting my level of excitement.
What was that, a 7 closer on last week? And now you said it's
was risen, it a 7?
Maybe 7-4?
Was it even that high last week? Yeah, I guess
it's 7 last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting closer to 8 now. I'm getting closer to an 8. It's going to go up. I'm really excited to see the press conference, the weigh-in. You know me. I love the weigh-ins are where I need to see a weigh-in before I make my decision on my picks. But yeah, this is going to be an exciting week.
All right, next one.
All right, man. I just heard the podcast. You said basically someone choose Crawford. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to choose Crawford because he's not going to win. I don't see it happening, man.
Wow.
The weight is there for a reason. You know what I mean? If he could have done that for real, he wouldn't have stuttered when they told him, why don't you fight Benavidez at 168? He said Benavidez is too big. Now, he probably feels like he could beat, you know, Canelo, because of the footwork, he might be slow. He might see holes in his game. But the truth is, he's not going to be able to take them punches from a man like him. And on top of that, shit, that's all I got to say. He can't take them punches, man. He's not taking punches.
He's going to get hit in a
12-round fight eventually when it gets...
All right, we'll cut him off. Goes on for another minute, 28. He brought up a good point there with Crawford. I don't think he's going to campaign at 168 moving forward. Like,
no.
This is a, I wouldn't say cherry pick, but it's Crawford's looking for big fights. And he's at the end of his career. He's finally playing the game where he's doing a lot more media. People know who he is. The Spence fight did wonders for his career. Wish it was earlier on. And I wish he wasn't so damn inactive, because this guy could really be like a big time star. And not just boxing, but with crossover. I'm not going to say it's a cherry pick with Canelo, but he sees something in Canelo. He sees Canelo slowing down, but he also sees the dollar bills. So, yeah, I don't see him, like, fighting Mbilly. I don't see him fighting a Benavidez if it comes down to 168. I don't see him fighting any of the guys really at 168, Crawford. I could be wrong, but I know we're looking way far ahead. But, you know, with Crawford, he sees something in Canelo. Like, I don't think he's just looking at this as a payday. I think he's like wants to really wants to win and really cement himself as an all-time great.
Yeah, it's a calculated risk for sure. I mean, the money's there, but also, like you said, he sees something in there. But also, in my pushback to the Benavidez comparison, Benavidez is coming down from over 200 plus pounds. He's a big guy. He was never coming up to 68 or 75. Canelo was campaigning at welterweight at one point. You know, so he's not that big of a guy. And that's the thing. Like, Canelo's shorter than I am. And yeah, he's broad and he's thick and he's, you know, he's a true 68 pounder, but he's not a big 68 pounder. He's a real 68 pounder, but he's coming up in weight. He's not, his frame is not that of a 68 pounder like a Benavidez. Benavidez is never going lower than 68. So, two different body types, two different sized humans.
Undefeated at 168. Let's put that in there. Canelo Alvarez.
Good. That's a good little feather in the cap and piece of information that matters.
I don't know how many, but it's been at 68 for a while now. I think it might be 10-0 or 11-0. Think about it. He's fought. Was Jacobs his last fight at 160? At 160, I'm going to go to BoxRec right now.
That was 60. Was Jacobs?
Let's see. Yes, 68. He fought Fielding at 68. We're going to count that one.
As I say, Fielding. Okay. Yeah.
1-0. He went down to 160 to fight Jacobs. He won that. Kovalev 175. Callum Smith 2-0. Envy 3-0. Billy Ho Saunders 4-0. Plant 5-0. Bivol lost. That was at 175. Golovkin 6-0. Ryder 7-0. Charlo 8-0. Munguia Berlanga, that's 9-0. 10-0 at 168.
Yeah, solid. I kind of forgot about that because, yeah, the last loss was at 75, and he lost to Mayweather at 55, was it? 50-something, 53?
That's another thing, too. Like, Mayweather went up to 154, which was kind of crazy. Yeah, he lost to Mayweather at 154. So he only has two losses. It was to Bivol at 175 and to Mayweather at 154. He has the draw with Golovkin, which was at 160.
60. And the first two fights were 60. The third one was a 68.
Yeah, that one. We don't remember the third one. His other draw came in 2006 against Jorge Juarez, a four-rounder.
I don't remember that one. Sorry, Dan.
What's Jorge Juarez up to these days? You need to find him. Talk to him.
He's probably the coolest guy in his town.
Right? The man. He's from, let's see his box work. Jorge Juarez doesn't have a photo. 8-30. With 18 knockout losses. He's from Tijuana.
Oh, he doesn't buy a drink in Tijuana ever.
He last fought in 2018, where he got knocked out in the second round by Fahd Burkow. Oh, man. Oh, bro. His box record is all red. He's riding a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's riding like a 18-fight losing streak. You got to go way down. Only green is 2000. His last win was in 2009.
He's a jobber. 2009? Wow. When was his last fight?
2018.
Wow. It's 9 years straight losses.
9 years without tasting a victory for good old.
But he's got to draw with Pinell. He's got to draw with Pinell.
Horace. Yeah, you can tell everyone. Everyone. All right.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Six picks for Canelo. Is this going to be Canelo chalk? What is going on?
I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to keep it real simple. Crawford is going to put on a masterclass. He's had a year to prepare for this fight. I know they studied Canelo top to bottom. I have a feeling he's going to have an answer for anything Canelo throws at him. Just at least one question. Can he take the punch? If he can, it's going to be a long night for Canelo. When I watched that Errol Spence Crawford fight back over and over, Crawford had an answer for everything. All these little angles and movements, I have a feeling he's going to repeat the same thing on Canelo. Crawford by masterclass next week. Book it.
Book it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, finally. Finally.
Crawford is on the board. Masterclass.
On the board and in emphatic fashion from our man.
Have an answer for everything. Watch the Spence fight. He was in the flow state the minute he stepped out with Eminem Crawford. Can he replicate that? I don't know. Will Canelo land something early like he usually does? He loads up early. I remember him loading up on Charlo early, another 54-pounder. And Charlo went into hibernation.
Yeah, he was like, "All right, I'm good. I don't need to win today. That's fine."
If Crawford goes into hibernation and just that would be sad.
He does not have that in him. I would see him go out in a shield before he went out on his horse.
Like that. That's a freaking bar right there from Algeria. Go out on his shield before he goes out on his horse. Is that, is that a saying? That, or did you just make that up on the fly?
I think I might have just made that up. That's a t-shirt, ladies and gentlemen. That's a t-shirt.
That's Chris Algieri on Monday, September 8th, getting into fight mode here. Yeah, so we got one for Crawford by emphatic. That's
masterclass.
The thing with Crawford. That's the thing with Crawford. That's how he's going to win, because fans will say, I've never seen this guy. But, you know, never seen him befuddle. I've never seen him uncomfortable.
Dude, he makes on paper hard fights easy.
The Madrimov fight. What'd you say was his toughest fight? Madrimov, probably, yeah.
That was probably the closest fight. The Gamboa fight was very tough. He always talked about
Prescott? No.
Prescott, he moved up to 140, like just out of a whim. No, at 35, he former UK world champion, like three division champion. What's his name? I can't believe I'm not recalling.
What are you
this.
Talking about? Not Kell Brook.
No. This is at 35.
I'm going down here the rabbit hole. 35. I've got to go down quite a bit on BoxRec for that.
Yes.
Delorme. Beltran, nope. Gamboa, Burns, Ricky Burns?
Ricky Burns. He always talked about Ricky Burns about having such a good jab and that he had trouble in that fight, and it was like a difficult fight.
I think that was
his
first title fight. That's when he won his first title. WBO World Lightweight title, 2014. 11 years ago, Terrence Crawford was campaigning at 135. 11 years ago, Robert Canelo was campaigning at 154.
Yeah. Wow.
Think about that. Think about
Kavalauskas. Kavalauskas was a tough fight.
But just think about that, Chris. In 2014, Crawford won his first title at 135. In 2014, Canelo was fighting Angulo at 154.
Yeah, that's 20 pounds, guys. That's a 20-pound
difference. Canelo's first fight at 154 was 2011.
And they're basically the same age. Crawford's a little bit older, so it's not like he grew into the weight class. So he just grew out of the weight classes.
That Mosley fight on the Cotto Mayweather undercard was Canelo's coming out party. They started putting him on the undercards of Mayweather. Mosley was well past it by 2012, but he just
got dominated.
Yeah, I remember I was working that for HBO as a celebrity spotter right out of college. Probably the coolest job you could possibly have. Walking around spotting celebrities and asking them if we can do a little, videotape them. And I remember Rodney Harrison, former cornerback for the Patriots, went up to him. And I said, hey, man, I'm just going to take a quick shot of you for the broadcast. And he was like, yo, who is this kid in the ring right now? I'm like, oh, this is Canelo Alvarez. I'm like, he's up next, man. Like, this guy's next. He's like, bro, he is dominating Mosley. Yes.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, man, you're going to see
he beat
this
the brakes
guy.
Off of Shane.
Yeah. So that just shows you how long Canelo has been on this stage. Also shows you how long Canelo has been fighting at 154, a weight that Crawford is just arriving at or now moving up. Canelo's been settled in above 150 since 2012. That's a little bit of a
little context.
A little context for you guys. All right. Next one. Where is it? All right, here we go.
Hi, guys. Enjoy the podcast. It's nice listening to two adults who know boxing and two adults that don't argue with each other like an old married couple, not like some other podcasts that are currently being broadcast. Anyway, on to the Crawford-Canelo fight. I think Crawford will win. Will he knock out Canelo? No, I don't think so. But he will hurt Canelo. And that's going to be the key. He's not going to wobble him with a headshot. I think he can hurt him with a body shot. Now, I boxed for many, many years, and I know one particular guy. To the head, the man could not punch. He could never hurt me in sparring, even though we didn't go too hard. But, man, did he have a blistering body attack. And I've never seen anybody go after Canelo full effort to the body. Not saying that Crawford's going to go all out, but I think with when Canelo gets aggressive, Crawford is going to use angles, and he's going to hurt Canelo to the body, and that's going to slow Canelo down just enough for Crawford to be able to do his magic and come away with a 12-round split decision. Crawford. Nice. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
First off.
Oh, and this is Russ from British Columbia.
Oh. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, Russ from British Columbia. Throwing shade at the other podcasts out there. Who could he possibly be talking about a podcast where the two guys argue like a married couple and they may also do it on air?
You got me stumped.
Russ.
Russ is making a very, very bold prediction there. He's going to hurt him to the body. But he made some good points, though, because Canelo does have a phenomenal chin, like we've been saying. But no one's ever really did a concerted body attack on Canelo. And that's one way that, coming from a fighter's perspective, if you're fighting a good body puncher, you go to the body too. And a lot of times, body punchers don't like it to the body. But guess what? No one likes it to the body. So it'd be interesting to see if you can do that. The problem with Canelo, if you look at his form and his physique, he's got a very short torso. It's not a lot of area on that guy to get to the body. And also, when you go to the body, you leave your head open. So, tactically, is Crawford going to take those risks to be close to Canelo, close enough to hit him to the body, but also have those hands in position where they're not close to home? Because Canelo's fast too. He's got fast hands. He's a good counterpuncher. So, but interesting take.
Yeah, it made me go right to the CompuBox database and look up Crawford's body numbers, because I don't really think of him as a body puncher. Like, he's a very well-rounded fighter. I just pulled up his last 10 fights. And only 13% of Crawford's landed punches are to the body. He lands 3.5 per round. In context, this is the welterweight average is 16%. So he's a little bit below average when it comes to, I'm not saying, talking about the punch selection or talking about the effectiveness of the punch in terms of him just landing it and him just throwing it, the distribution of it. No, actually, it's 24% of his landed body or shots are or body shots, which is still below, which is 32%.
So. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are stab jabs because he does set up shots with the stab jab down low.
Yeah,
and also he'll use body punches as part of his finishers when he's got a guy tuned up and he's going ding 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 ding. You'll see him throw good shots to the body. I remember remembering a lot of those stoppages at 140, like Delorme and like whatever. Like he would. In the process of taking a guy out, he'll hit you to the body, but he's not like a concerted body attack guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but our guy from British Columbia also said he thinks that Crawford is going to hurt Canelo at some point.
I said
this numerous times in the lead up to this. If there's a moment in this fight where Crawford visibly hurts or stuns Canelo, it's going to be epic, and that's going to change the course of the fight. It's going to get us like, wow, going to be the moment where I don't know if Crawford can win and capitalize on it, but that's a moment where we say, you know what, you know, this overdone hype and this kind of fight.
It's real.
Exactly. Turkey's going to be very happy there because there are some people out there that say this is a manufactured fight. But if we could see Crawford have a moment, we're going to all stand up. The hairs on our necks are going to rise.
What's up, Dan? What's up, Chris? This is Alec calling from Long Beach, California. Just wanted to give you guys my pick for next Saturday. To be honest, I'm getting a feeling. I'm a big Canelo fan. I've always been a big Canelo fan. I'm also Mexican, so obviously I'm a bit biased. But I remember having this feeling before Canelo fought Mayweather. My heart was saying Canelo, but my logic in my mind was saying Floyd's going to beat him. But I didn't want to admit that. I was too hung up on what my heart was saying. And we all know what happened. And now, this time around, I'm feeling the same feeling, guys. I'm feeling the same feeling of me saying, I want Canelo to win. I want him to ride off into the sunset, have this win under his belt. But I think Crawford might pull it off, guys. I really do. If anybody's going to do it, it's him. Canelo, I think he's over the hill. He didn't look great against Skull. Obviously, that's a bad matchup. But at the end of the day, I'm getting that same feeling, guys, and I got to go, unfortunately, with Crawford. I really hope it's at least a good fight, and they both give it all they got. And we'll see what happens, guys. Thank you for your time. I love the show. Peace.
Going against his heart
and his culture and his people.
Going against a lot there, and I like that. And he probably doesn't want to admit that. I wonder how many other Mexicans out there are thinking the same thing or thinking, you know, a little bit money.
I wonder how many Mexicans go on record.
Well, that's why
he went on record.
How many people? How many Mexicans watched Canelo buy $4 million worth of watches and said, "This guy, he ain't one of us anymore."
One of my producers on ProBox said when he first was working with Canelo, like they're trying to like, all right, make humanize him, and he showed up in like a Bugatti, and he's like, "All right, well, that's out."
Humanize him. How do you humanize him? I would love to try that. Like that would be kind of fun if they had me out there this week, which they should have. I would have tried that. I would have probably asked them like, "How much do you think like a dozen bananas cost?"
What's a gallon of milk cost?
Like things that he's never. What's the last time he was pushing a shopping cart in a grocery store?
Yeah. Have you ever changed a diaper?
He's got a lot of kids. I got four kids now. He's having more kids. I'm seeing that. But like, yeah, how much is a gallon of gas? Like, how much is like a Honda Civic on Facebook Marketplace?
I'd like to ask someone like Elon Musk that. Like, how much is a Honda Civic cost?
Bro, humanizing Canelo. I don't want to give anyone ideas out there on how to get millions of views on social media. But knowing this industry, I'm sure we'll see that this week, trying to humanize Canelo.
Optimus Dan and the Champ CA. This is your boy, Matt Rose, from the So Ill. I got to tell you, I've been saying for 3-4 months, Canelo's too big, too strong, too much chin for Bud. But the photos he released yesterday got him looking like a superhero from Marvel or something. But I'm going to put my money on bad judging. If this fight is even close, it's going to a draw, because if one fight makes a truckload of money, the second fight will make a boatload of money. A draw. I got a grand behind it.
Yeah, peace. A grand on a draw. This dude, if this is a draw, that guy's making money.
I don't want to burst this guy's bubble because he sounds very excited and he's got $1,000. That's a lot of money. But I've heard this logic way too many times, right, Chris? Oh, draw. You're not going to rig it. One guy's going to win, and they're going to set up the next fight. And you, in theory, you would think that. And the way boxing kind of operates, you would think that as well. But we just don't really see that a lot. But
nah, it doesn't work out like that.
I mean, yeah, WWE, which boxing is starting to resemble more and more. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but could sprinkle some money on a draw. I mean, Barrios and Pacquiao ended in a draw. And whoever had that, draw is usually like plus 1,600 at least.
But the key term that you said there, Dan, sprinkle some money on a draw. You're not, that's not like your pick, but you might, you know,
sprinkle.
Be a smart betting man.
Little taste, you know?
Little extra shredded cheese on that.
There you go. And, he referenced the Crawford photo, which,
had the internet ablaze.
Very smart move by Crawford to put that out there.
Hey, this is Ron from Ohio, long-time listener. Appreciate the work you guys both do. My question is more to pick Algeri's brain ahead of Canelo Crawford. Chris, if you were running the corners of Canelo and Crawford, what would be your game plan for your man on how to beat the other? Thanks again.
Nice. Algeri's cool corner. Algeri's take.
I'll do Canelo first because it's easier. Make the ring small and hit any part of his body. Hit anything. Hit his shoulders, hit his elbows, hit his hip bones. Hit him on top of the head. Hit him anywhere you can. Anywhere you can make contact with your gloves on him, do it. And use your speed early on and just, man, make that ring small. Test his power early. See if he can. Canelo might just decide, like, I can walk through everything this guy does. But Canelo doesn't really like getting hit like that. So I would say tons of pressure. Start right away and cut at the ring and hit anything you can. Hit his elbows, hit his shoulders, hit his hip bones. If you're Crawford, I think you go out there and you snap Canelo's head back immediately. You go out there and you flash some hand speed, a good stiff jab. You change angle, you're changing levels up and down, head, body, long, head, body, keep cutting angles, stay invisible, keep going to the weak side. Be careful of that left hook. But Canelo doesn't throw a whole lot of punches early on, so I think it's going to be a chance for Crawford to take advantage of that early and actually pile up some points and also do some damage. Hit him with that jab hard, stick him with some of those good shots, put that straight left hand down to the body, to the pit of the stomach, and set the tone early. Show him that you're not there to run, you're not there to hide, you're going to fight, and you're going to be in front of him, and then you can crack. So that would, if I was the corners, that's how I would go with each of them.
Love that. I could see it right now. When you were saying snap the head of Canelo back, like I'm thinking of Bivol when he was snapping the neck of Canelo with those jabs. And Crawford does have a good jab. And Crawford does have a ridiculous reach.
Yo, what's going on, Dan, Chris? This is Axe, longtime listener. Spec. So this is my pick for Canelo Crawford. I've got Crawford by TKO, probably 10th, 11th round. I think he's going to attack the body of Canelo, really wear him down. I feel like Crawford's the more technically sound boxer than Canelo. And I just feel...
Let me stop him right there. Do we... Like, are people sleeping on Canelo's boxing ability?
Yes, very much so. People are... I'm hearing that a lot. People are, like, forgetting, like, who Canelo is. And even like, long-time boxing people, because a lot of people just don't like Canelo. They're, like, forgetting that Canelo's still Canelo. Like, he's got fast hands. He's explosive. He's a good counterpuncher. He's got a fantastic chin. He's got good defense. Like, the guy... Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Not only that, like, he's turned more into a boxer over the last 3 or 4 years.
Where more than that.
Pulverizing.
Yeah, since Mayweather. Since Mayweather, he's really turned into more of a defensive boxer type, boxer puncher.
But even like the last couple years, like, if you really want to look, like, you know, where he's not stopping guys anymore, he's still piling rounds and he's still using, you know, great technique and using, you know, hiding his shots. Like that uppercut on Munguia, like I watched that all the time. Oof. And that left hook on Berlanga.
Beautiful. Yep.
Was so quick and was like out of nowhere. Would you be shocked if he lands something like that on Crawford, and Crawford's never felt anything like that since maybe Mean Machine? And there's a Crawford flash knockdown at some point in this fight? No, wouldn't shock me at all.
I wouldn't even be shocked if he got hit with something like that and it stunned him, and Crawford goes into fight mode when he does get hurt, and then Canelo stops him. I wouldn't be surprised at that. I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be like, I can see that scenario in my head, and I don't think that's going to happen, but I could see that scenario.
Well, we've talked about how Charlo's got into retreat mode. Munguia, that was a glorified sparring session. Berlanga just didn't have the ability.
Well, if Charlo stood and fought, he would have got knocked out too.
That's so what I mean. We just talked about how the fact that you think, and many others think, that Crawford will not do that, and he will fight more. Then we could potentially see a Canelo stoppage.
Yeah.
There is a path for a Canelo stoppage. I would like to see the odds. We'll do that on next week's show. Here's the last one.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Nando over here in the Bay Area. My question is for both of you guys. What do you guys think about Bohachuk ending up on the prelims undercard versus a spoiler in Bones Adams instead of fighting on his own main event versus Boots? And you think what Loeffler did was...
I think you're talking about Loeffler at the end. This is like the undercard, and I'm glad someone brought this up because, it, you know, the main event is swallowing up a lot of the attention. The undercard's really good. Lester Martinez versus Mbili. Be in your seats
awesome
for that.
Awesome
Be in
fight.
Your seats for that. Bohachuk Adams, I believe, is on the way early in the night. I think it's on the YouTube portion. I think it's main event of the YouTube portion. And I believe Bohachuk is fighting at 160 in this fight. Am I wrong?
Really?
Let me see.
Is that because of Brandon Adams?
I believe he's fighting at 160 against both. It says, I'm on Boxing Scene. Or whatever. Not Boxing Scene. Box Rec. Doesn't say. I thought I saw something. It says Super Welter. Okay, never mind. So he's not fighting at 160, Bohachuk. This is also a really good fight early on in the night.
Rematch. Brandon Adams knocked out Bohachuk years ago. It was his first loss. But Bohachuk was actually winning that fight pretty handily and got stopped with a left hook.
So this guy's asking, like, are you shocked that Bohachuk didn't want to fight Boots at 154? But you got to keep in mind, Tom Loeffler is Bohachuk's promoter. Tom Loeffler is very well connected with Dana White, who's now the promoter of this show.
I'm not surprised at all. It's exposure.
Yes.
Bohachuk, the only thing Bohachuk is missing is marketability. The only thing he's lacking is a profile, because the guy can fight his ass off. He's very, very good. So, but people need to know who he is. So this is that way. I think it's actually a very smart move. Loeffler's very smart. So
yeah, and I feel like Boots was desperate, and he probably put some stuff in those clauses what we've heard. So I wanted to include that because I want to talk. I did want to mention the undercard, and we will talk about the undercard at length on the next episode. But really great voicemails from everybody out there. A lot of Canelo early, and a lot of Crawford late. The Crawford backers seem extremely confident. The Canelo backers seem like they're basing it off of a lot of the past. I even have a family member of Canelo's call in.
Donnie Alvarez.
Donnie Alvarez. We're going to have to clip that out, put on social media.
Miles is my favorite. My favorite caller was Miles. Yeah. But Donnie Alvarez was very awesome, too. That was
Where
very
is
fun.
He at? Donnie freaking
Donnie
Alvarez.
Alvarez.
Let me play that one more time.
Donald Alvarez.
What's going on, Inside Boxing team, longtime listener, first-time caller? I'm Donald Alvarez, Canelo's cousin, and I felt...
Donald Alvarez. We have some talented listeners. That guy is very good on the mic. Very, very good. Good. Very good. Very funny.
Eclectic listeners, you know, like, but I would say funny guys.
Smart listeners, though. Smart. Very smart listeners. Very, very smart. I'm like always impressed with our call-ins.
Yeah, the reasons that we got for a lot of these picks were really good. All right, yeah. That is our episode. Thank you to everyone who called in. Maybe we'll have to do another one next week where we have to eat your words. A lot of people put their names on the lines here, which is the whole point of it. We will go back and listen to these next week and figure out who got the exact prediction correct. That is it for this episode. Any last remaining words, Chris?
Nope. I love our listeners, though. You guys are great. These call-ins are really fun. We got to do more of these. I know we always say that, and we actually are doing more of them lately, but our listeners are phenomenal. I'm so impressed with the boxing knowledge that our listeners come with when we do these shows.
All right, we'll be back on Thursday.
And Miles, what's up, man?
Miles, you're the man. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Tell your friends at school.
Exactly.
Like and subscribe. I will be back on Thursday with our predictions and betting picks and all that fun stuff. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
It's finally here.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.